Hey, AfterBuzzers, we're talking the Outlander After Show. We're going to see Ghost, Silver, Dairy Queen, sex shaming. Like, what? Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV and podcast. We are reviewing Outlander Season 4, Episode 3, False Bride. I'm Adrian Snow, and my fellow co-host.
I'm Rachel Goodman.
All right, if you can't hear in the background, we're playing some version that we hope is the correct False Bride. It is Rebecca Hall, correct, but we're not quite sure if it's the right one. Hear it.
You it
hear
sounds about right.
Thing in the back. Yeah, it's a Scottish song, for sure. Yeah. First thoughts. Oh, actually, before we're going to first thoughts, I always do this every single time. Stay tuned for the special segment, Book to Screen. At the end of the show, we'll go ahead and do our predictions before we get into the special segment, just to ensure that the viewers and listeners who don't want to hear about the differences in the book don't have to listen to it. So just to as a courtesy for no spoilers for you all. All right. Now, first thoughts.
My first thoughts. Okay. So Okay, this is going to be... This is not a prediction, but I keep hoping as we watch this that we're going to see Jamie actually get to meet his daughter. That's like my number one hope, and I have to say that because it just kept going through my mind.
Yeah.
But I really love, especially with Claire and Jamie's storyline, just all... Like, the aesthetics of the episode was great, how they really showed nature, and they just showed just how... I feel like... Jamie and Claire, like, even in last season, so much was going on that even when they had the reunion, they were on the run.
Yeah.
They didn't have time to really just bond as well as they do now. They were on a ship. At least now it's a little bit calmer, and they get to actually kind of bond and grow together and just see how they are together as a couple, and just, you know, their bond is just growing deeper.
Yeah. I enjoyed this episode as well. It was nice to see that Jamie and Claire are getting older, and so we understand that they do kind of want to, like, settle down and maybe let's not steal crap for a while and be on the run all the time and, you know, end up in hurricanes, sinking into the bottom of the ocean. That's kind of cool, I think, today. Like, to hit, like, 40, 50 and be like, I'm tired of that.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that. I even appreciated, for the most part, the Brianna and Roger story.
I loved the story.
Yeah. So let's just go right into that then. What were your thoughts on just the reemergence of Roger and Brianna in the third episode? So we're already about two full episodes in before we even get to see them again. And a lot has changed in that time.
So I loved, first of all, they make it very clear. It's 1970.
Mm-hmm.
So what, 2 or 3 years has gone by since we've seen them, according to the timeline? I was really excited to see Roger again. I was really excited to see him making his journey back to see Brianna, selling his home in Scotland, and making the trek to be with her. And just, you know, even Fiona was saying that she really could tell that he was in love with Brianna.
Yeah.
And so it just made sense. He was going to go to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, it wasn't as great. The reunion wasn't as great as what I thought it was going to be.
I thought it was kind of crazy that he sold his house and moved, you know, out of the country, off of the continent to be with Brianna, only because... From what it sounded like, just between him talking to Fiona about it, was that they hadn't really seen each other that much.
Yeah.
It wasn't like she was coming over to Scotland a lot or he was going to America that often, you know.
Yeah.
But it seemed more up in the air, and he didn't even really know what they were. And that's just a lot to give up for someone where you don't even really know where you're at with them.
Like,
they haven't even called you their boyfriend yet. You haven't called them their girlfriend yet. He was moving a little fast. Even for the 1970s, 60s, 50s, like, just for the past, it seemed crazy.
So for me, it's kind of like two different things. So, and two different thoughts that are going through my mind.
Mm-hmm.
One, he said some things that I didn't agree with, especially when he was talking to Brianna.
Oh, yeah.
But then the other thing that's going through my mind is, Well, if in his heart she's his, he thinks of her as his soulmate and it's his deep connection. Mm. I feel like that's why he acted on a whim like that, and maybe he was thinking about it for a really long time. So in the one sense, yeah, like he acted really, like he was being really forward and really fast about it. Mm-hmm. But then in the other, it's like, well, maybe in his heart, like she's the special bond. Maybe he thinks of her the same way that Jamie thinks of Claire, and that's why he was so, he was like, well, I'm going to do this because it's what I need to do in my heart. And being with her is who I need to be with.
I think,
but it didn't. Yeah.
Well, only because we tend to romanticize the story of Jamie and Claire because we've come so far with them. Yeah. But if you think back even to those earlier episodes, their marriage was just to ensure Claire's safety.
Yeah.
They did not get along in those because she was like, "Where the hell am I? What hell am I? Why are you talking to me like that?
Yeah.
I'm married. I have a life." So you get why their circumstances led them to moving things very quickly.
Yeah,
for Claire and Jamie, and they were also about 300 years in the past, and so it's a little bit more understandable.
Yeah,
that they would kind of be a little bit more quick in the pace back then. You know. Women were still property, P.S. So it's one of those kind of situations where you understand that mindset versus the 1970s, especially the 1970s in America, which is the only thing I can really speak to. So apologies if I don't include other countries, and that's just I don't want to misspeak on that, on their history. But, you know, the women's rights was happening at that time. Civil rights was happening. And I'm sure it was happening all over the world. And, well, not all over, but, you know, certain parts.
Yeah.
God, that was a dumb sentence. Whatever. if I could erase it, I would. sorry. We all have dumb sentences. But it just, you understand that Brianna's coming from a different mindset.
Yeah.
That, you know, whereas even he admits to being old-fashioned, Brianna's kind of like, this is bra burning season right we're in right now, you know?
Yeah.
Marriage.
And it's completely like what you're, you know, like I completely agree with what you're saying too. And the other thing is I feel like where Roger's coming from is a completely different place than where she's coming from.
Yeah, he's also older.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's all these things, all these factors. I think that, I mean, when we get to that part, I guess I might as well just mention it now since we're kind of like talking about it.
Well, before you mention it, let's just go ahead and check in with the chat first to see what they think on what we said so far. And then we'll go ahead into the part we're talking about.
Oh, I'm seeing a lot of negative comments about Roger. Billie Jean, girl, 24. Roger is moving kind of fast with Brianna. I don't think they've been dating long for him to even propose marriage to her. Hubby Joe, Roger turned into a jerk. Lynn Henderson, I don't think he was leaving Scotland for America. He lives and works in Oxford. Okay, so that clarifies something. Blue Diamond, I finally made it to the live chat. You guys are fabulous. Well, thank you, Blue Diamond. Thank you for joining us. Elizabeth Brown, it wasn't his to sell. It belonged to the church, the home.
Oh, right.
But the new reverend didn't need it, so they gave it to Fiona and Ernie. Okay. So we have that. So that kind of does
some clarifications.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it didn't – him moving and trying to go and be with her and meeting up with her, that part didn't – to me, that didn't make me dislike him. It was what comes next that makes me think badly of him.
Well, okay. I'm just going to keep pushing it back. Let's talk about – how you can support AfterBuzz TV. We appreciate all the viewers that we have. Do you want to?
Oh, yeah.
You want me to?
Absolutely. Okay. So, guys, our network produces after shows for all of your favorite TV shows, not just Outlander. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. If you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be worried because you can turn them off. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz TV channels as well for all of your favorite content. Let us know that you did and we will go ahead and give you a shout out live on the air. So for now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us to be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes, thank you guys so much. As always, please rate, subscribe,
seriously,
comment. YouTube,
everything,
iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, LiveJournal, whatever
LiveJournal
generation or, you know, time period exists. You happen to be in right now and you've reached into the future to us, please give us a shout out. We appreciate it so much. Now, let's get to it. So, Brianna and Roger go to the Scottish Festival. It's a nice ride down to North Carolina from Massachusetts, which sounds nice crazy. Like, okay, it's crazy even now when we have better mileage per gallon. But
yeah,
1970s?
And they made it sound like such a short ride.
Yeah.
I feel bad for anyone. Like, anyone who's not from America or anyone who's not from the East Coast would not understand that road trip. I'm an East Coaster originally, so I can totally vouch for the fact that, yeah, you don't just... That's a long ride.
That's a long ride.
Yeah, you're not going to just kiss a dude once.
It takes about... you would probably have to take a day or at least a night and sleep somewhere.
Yeah.
For your own safety. Yeah. My mother drove me to Chicago when I went to college. It was a 17-hour drive, I believe. 14 to 17 hours. We had to stop because my mother is an older woman and she can't drive for that long. And she won't let me drive the car because, you know, it's her car. But
yeah, that makes sense.
So we get to North Carolina and he's playing a festival and...
A Scottish festival.
A Scottish festival, to be clear, because the Scots settled that land in North Carolina, which actually, fun fact, is true. The Scots did settle. The Highland Scots settled in the 18th century. 1739, Gabriel Johnston was the royal governor of North Carolina. He came and helped bring other Scots to come after the defeat of the Battle of Culloden. Look at that. Look at that. Uh-huh. World. Real world meets fictional world. They obtained a land grant to settle in the Upper Cape Fear for the region. So, Cape Fear, which immediately I was like, oh my gosh. I love the remake and the original. Okay. So, sorry. Side note. And also, if you're looking for your own Scottish fest to go to and you happen to be in California, May 25th, and 26th is the Scottish Fest USA. Oh my gosh, that's so hard to say. Scottish Fest USA in Orange County. So if you're down in Orange County, you want to see what it's all about, see it for your own eyes, go there. Okay, back to the episode. So they're going to the Scottish Fest so he can play there. And it's also kind of just like a nice way for Brianna to kind of be incorporated into the history of Scotland in terms of they have calling of the clans.
Yeah.
So all the people who are descendants of certain clans will be there to speak for their clans, which is nice to see. And they do dances. Sorry, I'm getting to the point which I don't like. I can't pronounce this because I'm in no way Scottish, but the Clydai?
Yeah, I think that's how they said it.
The Clydai dance, which is really kind of like a do-si-do. I was like, is a do-si-do just a spin on the Clydai? Because that's what it looks like.
And then when they were showing it, I just kept expecting something to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got ghosts in this episode. What else could happen, you know?
I know, right?
So I was expecting, I almost thought that that's where they were going with this, mm-hmm. that they were going to spin and suddenly she was going to be back in the past. And then, I don't know. Like,
right? Not that's the portal, the Clydai.
Yeah.
only in North Carolina when you do the Clydai, but you can spun into history. That would be ridiculous and crazy. But I'm here for it because we had ghosts, so
exactly
they can do anything.
Yeah,
So we get to the end, and it's so clear to me, at least in this moment, that Brianna is kind of a lot like Claire, in that she's very like sexually assertive. Like she kind of knows where she stands sexually. She kind of isn't. She's not afraid to say what she wants. She like kisses him in the car, almost causes an accident. Was not here for that. What did you think of that?
I thought she was more like Jamie, not in that, but like I was thinking, okay, this is a woman who, or this is a person mm-hmm. who is just willing to do like, not that Claire wouldn't be, mm-hmm. but I feel like Jamie probably would have leaned over and kissed someone in the car mm-hmm. while they were driving. And I just feel like I see so much of Jamie in Brianna's character.
Really?
Yeah.
But I also see a lot of Claire because the first episode where they're going through the old house with her and Frank and she like lifts up her skirt. I was like, ooh, like, this is the world we're entering right now. Okay. She's like a forward-thinking woman in the 1940s.
Yeah.
So that's only why I think Brianna reminded me of Claire in that
yeah.
moment.
Yeah. No, that makes complete sense, too. Yeah.
So I guess I don't know why. I thought, okay, how nice. He's about to say he loves her. Because what a nice step in a relationship to admit that you love somebody. She's already clarified that he is her boyfriend.
Yeah.
They have a nice drawing together. He bought her a nice bracelet. But then they go. He goes right into marriage.
Yeah.
Marriage? Marriage.
But it wasn't even... Okay, the marriage thing, fine. He proposed because maybe in his heart he felt like this was the one for him.
Uh-huh.
But what bothered me is that as soon as she was like, I'm not ready for this, he couldn't be understanding.
Sex shaming.
And non-stop
sex shaming.
And then she's like, first of all, oh, I'm a virgin. Mm-hmm. And he's not a virgin. Yeah. So where's he got any right to step in and say that there's a problem with them sleeping together first?
I mean, regardless of if you're a virgin or not, you just don't have...
Yeah.
The right to pass that judgment onto somebody because they're willing to take the next step with you, which is to sleep with you.
Yeah.
But they don't want to marry you.
I mean, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you don't know how you are with someone completely until you are living with them, mm-hmm. until you're sleeping with them. Mm-hmm. You need a real, like, actual relationship with someone before you can decide to take that step to marry them.
Yeah. Yeah. They've kissed, like, 3 times.
Yeah.
He's seen her maybe 2 times in the past year. Come on, Roger.
Seriously, get it Roger. Together. Get your act together.
Get it together.
But that being said, it didn't offend me that he proposed to her. I thought that was sweet and romantic. What offended me was his reaction to her when she mm-hmm. said she wasn't ready, because he should have been very understanding about that. Mm-hmm. And then instead of him getting mad and then saying, like, calling her out as like, oh, well, you know, you're so easy. If I had wanted you, I would have slept with you already. What a jackass. Like,
that was disgusting.
Yeah.
Let me just say, I'm just put this out there for men. Like, don't, don't do that ever.
Yeah.
Ever. You ever feel like it? This is my New York accent. Don't do it.
Forget
Why?
About it.
Why would you do that? Especially, okay, it was like when guys say, oh, hey, girl, and you ignore them, and they go, oh, you ugly anyways. Like, why? It doesn't change the fact that you wanted something from me. I denied it to you. So now you have a different interpretation of who I am. But it actually doesn't, in the end, get you what you want. Because if you really wanted to marry her, then just be like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe I am taking things too fast. But, you know, I hope that someday you and I can get married.
And she was so reasonable about it. She was like, yeah. I'm not saying marriage is definitely off the table.
Yeah.
She was just saying, I don't want to get married right now. And
she just started college.
Yeah.
P.S. Big ups to Brianna going to MIT for engineering.
Did you see when I was watching this on Amazon, mm-hmm. they have like the fun facts. Mm-hmm. And they said that back then in 1970, only 8% of the people going to 8% of all students, undergrad and graduate at MIT, only 8% were women.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised by that at all. So, yeah, I thought that was for all of the times that I do not like Brianna. I'm not. You know, secretive about the fact that I don't like Brianna. I don't like Brianna in the show. Now, the book, and we'll get to that, I actually do like Brianna quite a bit. And so I appreciate that they took that aspect from the book and put it into the show of her studying engineering at MIT. I was like, okay. That gives her just like a little bit...
Yeah.
She was such like a like 20-year-old, 12-year-old for so much of the show. It's just like she's always whining about something. She's always doing something really annoying. Doesn't mean I didn't think that she did some annoying stuff in this episode. Not as much. But Roger definitely took the cake in terms of annoying character of the night.
Yeah, that's just the comment. It's one thing I would get. Yeah, I would even understand if he was upset.
Mm-hmm.
But just for him to say that to her and to react that way and to get angry.
Yeah,
it's one thing to be just like really, you know, disheartened and like, oh, okay, and just really sad.
Yeah.
But her saying, you know, it was just so ridiculous.
So, yeah, when we get to the calling of the clans at the end.
He should be lucky she even came back, to be honest.
So they go in and they both kind of make an attempt at an apology. And it seems like he's going to just kind of be like, yeah, maybe I was like going overboard. But then he says, I'll have you all or not at all. Gross. Don't ever say that to anyone. What? I'll have you all or not at all?
And when she first shows up and it seemed like he was going to apologize, like they both were.
Yeah.
He's like, have you changed your mind?
Why?
Like, obviously he wasn't there to apologize to her.
It's not like... The only time I could even see it being reasonably justifiable to say, I'll have you all or not at all, is if you're already married to somebody and they're talking about open marriage, and you're not down for it.
Yeah.
It's just to say, well, I'll have you all or not at all. But like, I get that. You've already committed, and now you're like, I don't want to share. Okay, fine.
That's different.
But that's different. It's not, you've seen this person 5 times over a year.
Or like even if you're not married, if you've been with them for 4 or 5 years, and you live together, and it's a committed relationship, and you're in a different place, like, Jamie would never say that to Claire.
No, Jamie's never, well, has he? He might have.
Well, okay.
But not early.
Yeah.
But let's check in with the chat and see what their thoughts are.
Okay, so we have Merly Ortega says, yeah, why did Roger go right into marriage and maybe just for now accepting, and maybe not just accepting for now, boyfriend and girlfriend, instead of asking her to marry him, which she is clearly not ready for. We also have Billie Jean Girl 24. Not surprised Roger acted like a jerk. Look who he was related to.
I thought about that too. I was like, oh, he's a McKenzie for sure.
Morley also says, I love Brianna's reaction when she slapped him. Yes, she deserves a round of applause for slapping him because, that was so disrespectful.
Yeah.
And then a couple more comments. Lynn Henderson, who said, this is actually her first time watching us live. Mm-hmm. So thank you for joining. She says, a little Dougal coming out there. I just want to know how Roger got back to Boston. Did Bree just leave him in North Carolina? And Gracie and Ryan says, typical butthurt guy. I would have slapped him twice.
Roger.
The question,
you're
though.
You're so forward thinking, kind of, sort of, until this episode.
I thought he was. Like, I'm almost kind of surprised. Mm-hmm. Someone who doesn't read the books, I just seeing him from the TV show. I was very surprised that he handled it this way.
Yeah. And I think it's, a big reason as to why we don't read the books or have not historically read the books is to kind of give it that distinction. So we're not spoiling things for the viewers in terms of we have certain knowledge or we're constantly, because I know when I read a book, like for anyone who was a Harry Potter reader and then would go see the film, they'd be like, oh, well, this didn't happen, and that person's not here, and this is so different. And so that's one of the big reasons as to why we've refrained from doing it, just to be supportive of the fact that we're reviewing the TV show and not the book.
Exactly, and that's kind of why I've waited, too, so that I don't have, so that I don't understand things differently based on the books.
Yeah.
And
I'm sitting here right now, and my brain is hurting because I do have to read the books for this season, and there are things that I want to talk about with that I can't talk about it till later. So on that note, let's just move on to Jamie and Claire.
Yeah.
So Jamie and Claire have decided to mosey on. And there was that moment between Ancho Costa and, Claire. Sorry, I blinked out because I was reading the screen. Between Ancho Costa and Claire, where Ancho Costa was kind of like, why would you let Jamie live such a simple life? And I was kind of shocked by that. I don't know. I guess a printer isn't a great life. I'm not better than a lord, but...
She was like, you're wasting his talents.
Yeah. What are his talents that you know of?
Yeah.
Thieving?
I mean, she barely knows him.
That's what he does. He's a thief.
But it was a nice moment that she gave the candles. Mm-hmm. I think just candles, not candelabra. Mm. It was a nice touching moment that the aunt, at least with Jamie, they parted on a very loving note. But then with Claire.
Yeah, she kind of got feisty.
She did.
And she kind of got the way you thought that she was going to be with Claire. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like she was kind of blaming Claire for the fact that Jamie was leaving anyway. And maybe that's what the dig was at.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're the reason why my nephew's leaving.
Yeah, because he probably would have stayed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't particularly appreciate that little moment between them, but I'm happy to not be in River Run anymore.
Yeah, me too.
Because what a nightmare, okay? Are we right? Like, it's a nightmare, right? Kind of, last episode, kind of a nightmare. But just with the handoff between Jamie and Ancho Costa, with the coins and the silver, I was like, oh, yeah, now they have a little bit more money. And also, they're probably going to get robbed again.
Yeah, where Steven Silver, bought it.
Right?
Smell the money.
We know he's coming.
Oh, yeah.
So with that, they head onto the road, and they're led by John Quincy Myers to the way to Wollum's Creek. Yeah, they're on their way to Wollum's Creek. And he has some business to do with the Native Americans. And this is a nice moment because we get to see that Ian is kind of coming into his own. He's stood his ground and said, I've been basically tortured since I left Scotland. I've dealt with pirates and kidnappings. Like, I think I should be able to stay where I want.
You know what was interesting, too? I didn't even realize. I thought young Ian was a lot younger than he actually is. Mm-hmm. He made the comment, you were my age yes. when you fought a war.
Well.
And I was like, wait a minute, what? So, obviously.
But okay, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Jamie, it could just be that the actor looks older, even when he wasn't playing someone who was older. But mm-hmm. he, yeah, young Ian looks like a baby.
Yes. When he said that, I went, oh my God. Right. Jamie was only like maybe 20.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
When we were first introduced to him in season one. And so you kind of forget that because clearly Sam Heughan, who plays Jamie, is, you know, well into his 30s at this point. And so yeah. you're kind of like, oh crap. Yeah. He was supposed to be playing a younger person because he is going to. Because they knew they were going to have to age him
yeah.
like 40 years yeah. over the course of, well, at least the first four seasons. So, yeah, just that comment alone, I was like, oh, right, I need to stop looking at him like I'm looking at a 14, 15-year-old, which yeah. clearly he's not. But
it just feels like just he's feels younger. That
way. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. he can't grow a beard. But that was confirmed last episode. I'm not being a jerk. He actually said he can't grow a beard. Yeah. So. But we get was there some stuff in the chat?
There is, yeah. There is, okay, so Billie Jean, this is going back to Roger. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Brianna ditched him in North Carolina, make mm-hmm. him find his own way home. Mm-hmm. Carmen Cortez says, I'm just waiting for the turn of Murtaugh.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Anyways. Moving on.
Hint, hint, hint.
I don't know what that means. So, interesting. So we go on to they start their travel. Ian and John Quincy Myers decide to separate and go deal with some dealings with the Native Americans that they have. And it was a nice kind of, I guess that conversation was like icky to a certain extent, but it was nice to establish how the Native Americans basically lived and behaved in that time, according to John Quincy Myers. You yeah. know, that the women were independent. They could sleep who they want to sleep Cherokee with. They could women. Marry who they want yeah. to sleep with, the Cherokee women. And they also deal with the Tuscarora. These are all also both real Native American tribes. If you want to look them up, you most certainly can. They were mainly in the areas that we now know to be North Carolina, I think New York, Mississippi, because my mother loves to bring up how we're part Cherokee. Not sure if that's true. And so they go off on that on their own for that adventure that we'll probably get to see next episode.
Can I just say, too, mm-hmm. I thought it was hilarious when John Quincy Myers is telling them about the Cherokee women. Mm-hmm. And immediately after he says they can choose who they marry and before that who they bed with, young Ian, his reaction is, I love this land.
Right. Okay, Ian. You look to be a child. And John said last episode, they like men with hair on them, so I doubt they're going to bed you, my friend.
Yeah.
Much left. I mean, non-Native men with hair on them. I'm sure they get down with their own Native men. But it was kind of, I do want to see where that goes, and so I hope that we get to catch up with them the next episode. But this part of the episode where it's just Jamie and Claire got kind of boring for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I agree. It was like, I could see, and this is where it comes back into, okay, this is a romance novel. Mm-hmm. Because in a romance novel, yeah, you'd have these conversations all the time. Mm-hmm. But the show
and some sexy time to go with.
No, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, probably. But I feel like I agree with you. I didn't, until they kind of got separated, I didn't feel any kind of sense of urgency or tension or like, okay, what's going on? The moments between them, it was great. Like, they were sweet little moments, but it felt like I was just watching a romance novel.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what it all is, fine but, and good, because I think it also allowed for us to give more focus to the Brianna and Roger
yeah.
parts of the episode, which is fine, but it also just kind of was like, okay, this feels very similar to the first episode where they're in the woods and they're having their talks about their future. And it was nice to hear Jamie clarify that he is older now and that being a thief and running around and starting revolutions just isn't, he doesn't have the energy for that yeah. anymore.
I liked that.
But it could have clipped on, along a little bit faster for me. It would have been nice to even get to the next day where we see them trying to meet back up with Ian and John Quincy, just because it was a little slow.
And I wanted to see more. This is kind of jumping to the next part. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see more with the ghost.
What is this ghost about?
Yeah, exactly. And that was more interesting to me than all the scenes, you know, like all the entire conversations they had with them.
Well, the most interesting part for the ghost for me was when the whole haunting was over.
Yeah.
She looks at his, she actually gets to look at his skull and sees that he has silver fillings.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, that is fascinating. Because then that means that there is another portal or stones or lake or people doing the do-si-do / Kledai.
To
get to the past and the future.
And also, I mean, she kind of, I mean, she saw the cut in the back. Mm-hmm. The ghost, I mean, I don't know what the rules of Outlander are with this, because this is the first we're seeing it in the show. But with the ghost, I feel like, I mean, how do we know that he even actually looked like that, or that he's coming up, you know, like he could have been haunting her and just putting on this image of a person? Because it seemed like I don't know, like it just, I'm not sure how that works. And I'm curious who it is, and if it actually is, you know, if it actually was a guy who
was Native American.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think because even in the preview, she says something about how, like, maybe the ghost is warning us, and they have the, was that in the preview or was that the end of the episode? Sorry, I've been watching nonstop TV shows.
I think it was the end of the episode.
It was the end of the episode. Yeah. Thank goodness. My brain is kind of fried. So it was nice to see that that's coming back to it. But does that just mean that to beware of the Native Americans, or was he actually a Native American?
Exactly.
Judging by the fact that when he turned around, he was scalped and had an axe in his head, I would assume that he probably wasn't Native American, or he was of a rival tribe.
Yeah.
But then silver, I don't know. I'm curious about that, and I wish they had brought that up a little bit sooner to see where we're going to go with that. Because it's also, at least once a season, Claire has to be brash and not think ahead.
Well, and the thing is, too, is that the last time that they were dealing with someone's skeleton, it ended up being a main character.
Oh, we knew.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking, too, is that, well, maybe it's not that guy at all.
Maybe it's Roger.
Yeah.
Tough shit.
Yeah.
Well, don't be a jerk, Roger.
The moral of the story, don't propose too soon.
Don't be a jerk. And don't sex shame women.
Yeah.
All right. Well, did you have any final thoughts before we go into predictions and end of show?
You know, I think I'm just about ready to do the predictions.
All right. Let's go into predictions, and then we'll hit up special segment right after.
Well, now, you're after Buzz.
I love how it's spooky.
I know.
Like, why?
Me too.
Why is it spooky? Because of predictions. What are your predictions?
Going off of kind of what we were just talking about, I think the skeleton, I think it is someone. Like, I don't think it's that guy that we saw. I think it's an actual main character that maybe hasn't even traveled to the past yet. Gotcha. I was almost even thinking, I don't know, Brianna for some reason. I don't know if she's had...
It's a male skull, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Never mind.
Well, only because she calls him a
man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's my first prediction. I also want to see more with Fraser's Ridge, I think they called it.
Yeah,
Fraser's Ridge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And fun fact, too, why we looked it up on Google Maps, and I don't know if it's a real place, but they have it listed on Google Maps with the Outlander pictures in North Carolina. So,
well, you know,
it's on Google Maps,
loves
people.
A good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the chapter in the book where this begins is called Strawberry Fields Forever for all you Beatles fans.
Oh.
But I was like, oh, strawberries. That's cute and nice to see that. Kind of, I think it was a nice clue for book readers that they were reaching that point.
Yeah.
In terms of predictions, I think it's Roger.
Was this prediction or hopeful thinking?
No. I liked Roger. No, I'm kind of murky about him.
Yeah. He can redeem himself still.
He can redeem himself potentially. Yeah. I think we're definitely coming back to Lord Tyrion or General Tyrion. And so that's going to be the next big conflict. I wouldn't imagine that they would hire Marie Doyle Kennedy for just two episodes. So I definitely think we're going to come back to Hunter Costa. It seems like they're splitting things up in the way on the show that are different from the books. So we're being introduced to things earlier and then having things come back in different types of ways. So we'll see how that goes. But with that said, let's get into our special segment, Book to Screen. It's like Murder, She Wrote, y'all.
Seriously.
Typewriter.
Seriously.
Okay. So as I was saying, the book, I'm actively reading the books as we're going through the season. So, and the show jumps all over. So I'm still catching up to apparently Jamie and Claire because they're way ahead. But Brianna and Roger's part starts in chapter two, or part two, I should say. And first off, right off the bat, Roger is so much lovelier in the book. And this whole set, like everything about, like he's so much nicer. He doesn't have these weird old fashioned type of thoughts, at least at this point in the novel. And he sounds to be like a dark haired Jamie by how they go describe him in the book. I'm like, dude, he like picks her up and they kiss all passionately. And like, he's like, oh man,
that is
like,
not,
that's not Roger. No, he's wearing just like a basic white shirt and jeans. He's like, Roger's always in a suit or a turtleneck. Yeah. I'm loving this, Roger. And then in terms of that, the book opens with Brianna's point of view. So the part two, when we enter into it, Roger and Brianna's story begins with her and doesn't switch over to his point of view until they're on the road to the mountains of Massachusetts. That's right. They don't go to North Carolina because it's only a 100-mile drive to the mountains of Massachusetts.
That makes sense.
Which makes more sense. Also, what makes more sense is that Brianna would be driving because it's the United States of America. She has a license to drive, and Scott's drive on the left side of the road. So he would have to go through driver's ed to drive in America.
Like, well,
what?
Well, the only thing I can say about that is that I recently went to Scotland.
And they drive on the right side of the road?
No. They drive on the left, but I was allowed, as long as I had a driver's license.
Really?
You don't need to go to school for it or anything.
I didn't know that. See,
and I was able to rent a car and everything.
That's
so
a big
care.
Thing that, at least from my experience, so maybe he didn't have to have driver's ed, but he still shouldn't have been driving a car.
Yeah. She still would have driven because it's kind of crazy.
It's her car.
Yeah.
But with, at least when you hear about celebrities from the UK, when they come over here, they talk about how they get the driver's license and they have to go to the driver's ed because it's so different. I personally would never feel safe driving in England or Scotland. It looks terrifying. Do you see? They have the it goes like that. The roads go like zigzags.
And everything, it's all backwards, so you have to get used to Sorry, we could be backwards to them.
We're backwards. France,
but
all the other countries that drive on the road. We're backwards. I love the UK. You're my favorite. So that was just, okay, aside from the fact that he doesn't need a driver's license, my bad, I spoke incorrectly. He should not have been driving the car. Brianna was driving the car. Yeah. There was no passionate kiss until the very end, until they got there, which made more sense. They wouldn't be, like, swaying off the road.
Yeah.
The song that's referenced in the in the novel is a song, a reference to Charles Stewart, which makes her think of Jamie and Claire, and she hasn't really addressed her feelings about her mother going into the past in the book, so it brings up a lot of feelings for her, which is what causes her to be distant. And Roger's totally understanding of her being distant. And in the Calling of the Clans, they even do a moment where they call out for Fraser, and it like shocks her because they don't do that
in
the show. And I thought that was really weird. I was like, surely they would have a Fraser there. So I don't know if they're trying to hold that off for later or something, or introduce the Frasers actually being there at a different point, because I think, Jocasta has a different last name, but it just didn't make sense that it wasn't acknowledged in the show for me. And then I liked that the book really kind of laid it on with the songs. He went through like 10 songs in the book or something. And so it's a lot about Charles Stewart and the Jacobite Rising. And then he also has an envelope for her, which I think might be introduced in next episode, photos of Claire and Frank's wedding. So, which also inspires like all these feelings for her about missing her father and missing her mother. So it was just nice to have those moments hit. And it was nice for Roger to not be such a bloody jerk. Because, good Lord. It made more sense that, he was there to visit her and that he loved her. But they weren't rushing anything. It wasn't like, okay, this is the one I have to be with her. It was just, he seemed like a nice, normal boy who had seen a girl's mother get sucked into a stone and heard the singing.
Yeah.
So, I appreciated that. So, I think that wraps up this episode of the Outlander After Show. Do you have any final thoughts before we sign off?
Oh, no. I mean, just that obviously Book Roger is better, Roger.
Book Roger is better, Roger. Book Roger, where are you?
Seriously.
Where's your white shirt and jeans?
We need Book Roger to come back now.
Where's your wonderful beard stubble? Oh, there's also a character that maybe hasn't been introduced yet, the character of Gale, which is Brianna's good friend in Boston who, like, flirts relentlessly with Roger and gets him to roll his R's. And I just got to say, I'm here for that, Roger. I'm here for Gale being introduced. Like, bring me these characters. Just make Roger a little bit more rakish. Okay.
Okay. On that note.
On that note. Yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. Yeah. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. And Rachel, where can they follow you?
I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Rach Goodman. I'm also on the AfterBuzz Young and the Restless shows on Sundays at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And right before the show, I do the Ray Donovan AfterBuzz TV show at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Also, if you guys are still here, go ahead and check me out on Doctor Who in about 2-3 minutes. Ooh, yeah, 3 minutes exactly. Doctor Who After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you had as much fun as we did, and we will see you next Sunday. Actually, that's a lie.
We're closed.
Enjoy your Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.